A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Teach 7 for Talmud. Nedarim Chaf Dalid, Nedarim 24b, pagination is 48, starting from the Mishnah, five lines from the top. In the first Mishnah of our Perek, we mentioned Nidrei Ziruzin, Nedarim vows that are made to encourage. We gave an example in the Mishnah over there of a person who's busy bargaining, and he says that he won't sell it for less than a certain price, with a neder, a vow that things will become prohibited to him if he would sell it for less, and the other person is making a similar vow that he'll never pay more than a certain amount. And those were called nidrei ziruzin, vows of encouragement, where everybody who's watching it, the chachamim, assessing it, understand that it's not a binding vow. It was made to be emphatic. Another case in the Mishnah over there, which we will now explore, is called Nidrei Havoi, vows of nothing, where we understand that what the person is saying is either an exaggeration or it's nothing. It doesn't make any sense that he would really be trying to affirm and hinge his vow to that statement. Nidrei Havoi, what's an example? Omar konam im lo ra'isi baderech hazeh. Konam is a vow, a prohibition that he's putting upon himself. If he didn't see on this road, ka'ole Mitzrayim, like the numbers of the people who came out of Mitzrayim, 600,000 people, if he didn't see ka'ole Mitzrayim. And when we hear that, we recognize that he didn't count 600,000 people. It's an expression. He saw thousands of people. He saw an enormous amount of people. And he made a vow to affirm so that people should believe him. He's saying that he saw Ka'ole Mitzrayim, even though on a technical level, it didn't really happen. And that's considered something that would not prohibit the item which he designated based on that affirmation. The Gemara in the middle of the page states, Tana, we learned, Nidrei Havoi Mutarim. The case of Havoi, of nothingness, that we just outlined, that would be a case that the item is permitted, the vow does not take effect. However, Shavuos Havoi Asurim. But if a person would make an oath of nothingness, same type of concept, asurim, it would be forbidden. And the Gemara asks, Heichi dami shavuos havoi, what exactly is an example of an oath of nothingness? Let's drop down four lines. At the end of the line, Omar Rava, Rava said, Be'omer ye asur peiros ha'olam alai, a person says, all fruit of the world shall be forbidden to me b'shavua, through an oath. Im lo ra'isi baderech hazeh ka'olei Mitzrayim. If I didn't indeed see on this road, like the olei Mitzrayim, an enormous number of people. And we're being taught that shavua, an oath, is on some level more binding, more serious than a neder, a vow. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, V'dilma, and maybe, in other words, why should you tell me that it will be binding as an oath, and he will be prohibited, based on his words, in all the fruit of the world, because he didn't see Ka'olei Mitzrayim, 600,000 people on this road. Maybe, hi Gavra, this person, kina deshum shemani chaza, he saw a group of ants, va'asik lahon shema olei Mitzrayim, and he decided to call them, these ants, olei Mitzrayim. According to some mefarshim, it's because there are so many ants in an anthill, he decided to call them olei Mitzrayim, is his doing. Vishapim Mishtava, and it's not even an exaggeration. he is totally saying the truth. Before he said it, he dubbed them Ole Mitzrayim. I don't know if he gave them team t-shirts, but he made them. He gave them a name. Amalei onto the next staff. He replied that that doesn't work. Ki mishtava adaita didon mishtava. When a person makes an oath, he's making an oath according to normative word usage. Va'anan lo maskina nafshin ashum shimoni. And we don't call ourselves Ole Mitzrayim and use that word simultaneously regarding a bunch of ants. It doesn't work like that. You can't use word usage like that. And therefore, even if he would try to create some word usage as a trickster, it's not going to be binding. Asks the Gemara, and this really takes our topic to a very expansive level, can a person use words that he has figured out a way mean one thing when you think they mean something else? Asks the Gemara, Valdaita denafshe lo ovid inish demishtava. A person can't pull such a trick. Vatanya, we learned, kishei mashbiyim oso, when they make a person make an oath in Bezdin, affirming that he indeed owes a certain amount and no more. So it's a honesty check. We make him make this oath. Omrim lo, we say to him before he makes the oath, Heve yodeya, we need you to know, shelo al tanai shebelibcha onu mashbiyim oscha, we're not basing this oath on whatever convoluted reasoning you might have in your heart. Ela al daitenu, it's an oath that's being made according to our understanding of the words. Va'al da'as bezdin, and the way bezdin understands the words. And therefore, if you pull a semantics game, so you feel you didn't say anything dishonest because it was what we might call a white lie, that's not going to be an honest oath, and you're going to be in violation. Your oath is based on our understanding of the words. La fuke mai. What was that special wording coming to exclude? Lav la fuki da asik la is kunduri va asik lahon shemazuzi. Perhaps it was because a person might start calling wood chips zuzim, and then he gives the wood chips to the person that he owes the money to, and he's going to make an oath that I gave him zuzim, because you started calling the wood chips zuzim. Umitikomar al daitenu, and now that we have to go to these lengths and say that you're making the oath based on our understanding of the word, mechlal da'ovid inish demishtaba daite denavshe, apparently there's such a thing as making an oath based on your own understanding. So we're back to this question, could a person start calling the ants Ole Mitzrayim, the ones who came out of Mitzrayim, so numerous in number, and therefore when he makes an oath that he saw the Ole Mitzrayim, it's not an exaggeration, it's not a number thing, it's literally, he saw the Ole Mitzrayim, he decided to name them, V'yikari Shemo B'Yisrael, Ole Mitzrayim, which the Gemara says is not for Yikari Shmo B'Yisrael. We don't refer to ants by the word such a sacred moment as Ole Mitzrayim when we left Mitzrayim and became a nation. We don't use the words like that. So can a person do such a thing as a trick, at least in the cases where we didn't tell him your oath is according to our understanding? The Gemara says, no, we're going to insist that a person cannot make an oath with new word usage. He's adding in his own dictionary an extra, you know, the fourth definition of Ole Mitzrayim. It doesn't work like that. So what is it that we're doing when we make an oath in Beis Din and we tell him it's according to our understanding? The answer is not regarding word definitions. It's regarding a actual trick. The Gemara says, La'afuki mikanya de Rava, the cane of Rava case. Dahu Gavra, there was once a story, Davamasik Bechavrei Zuze, that a person was owed money. Asalakame de Rava, the case came to Rava, Amale Lilova Zilpar Ali. The lover was told, you have to pay up. The borrower must pay up. Amale Piratich. He says, I paid up already. Amale Rava, Rava said, Imkein Zilish Davale de Pirate. So then you have to make an oath that you paid up. Azova Isi Kanya, so this borrower went and took a cane, v'yoev zuze begavei, and he put coins into it, v'ava mistamech, and then he would lean on it, v'ozil v'osi alei leveidin, and he walked into Bezdin, leaning on the cane as if he really needed the cane, omale lemalva, and he handed it to the malva, nekotai kanya biyadeich, hold the cane in your hand for a moment, nosav sefer Torah v'ishtova, and they handed him a Sefer Torah, and he made the oath. Koma d'havale bidei. So he makes an oath that he returned everything that he was supposed to. Umavo rogaz v'tova laukanya. So the lender got angry, because he knew an oath was made in vain, or so he thought, and he broke the cane, he smashed it, and the coins rolled out of the cane, and it turned out, it was found, that this guy was such a good trickster that he was making an oath correctly, because he had returned, given the coins to the lender, and on some level, it wasn't in his possession. And because you have the possibility of such a trickster, so we have the oath administered with the words, you're making the oath according to our understanding, and not according to your tricks that you might have up your sleeve. On this topic that the Gemara explored about word definitions, and a person can create a new definition, but when it comes to an oath, it doesn't work like that. You're making the oath according to people's understanding of that word. So there's a cute story, they say, of a very wealthy host who used to like to invite people to his house, but he would pepper them with so many questions that they never had a chance to eat. So a certain poor person was looking for a good meal, and they told him, you could go to this host, but he serves great food, but you're not going to end up being able to eat. So he says, I'll work it out. So he got the invitation, and he comes to the wealthy man's house. And when the wealthy man asks him questions, where is he from, etc., he purposely answers the city that this wealthy man came from. And the wealthy man starts asking him, so how is this person, how is that person? And everybody that he's asked about, he says, oh, they're dead, they died. On and on, everybody died. Meanwhile, he's getting to eat, because he keeps saying, you know, dead, and the wealthy man's in shock, and it takes him a while to ask the next question. So he finishes his soup, his main dish, he's doing well. Finally, the wealthy man is astounded, and he asks, is anybody in that town alive? And at that point, it was the end of the meal, and this guest says, listen, when I'm eating, it's like everyone is dead. I pay attention to my food. So we have different types of definitions, but we're being told that when it comes to this oath, someone else's definition is not going to change whether he's swearing correctly or incorrectly, because the understanding of the oath is what is considered its honest intention. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.